Even though they've done a job, they're going to feel guilty for asking for money for it. An hour and a half, so I've got 10 minutes to check in. It's an hour and 49 minutes.
Beasley Workwear now proudly sponsors Trade Legends.
I think they just think this is going to taste like absolute shit.
Yeah, because
this is going to taste
like a literal builder's crack.
Yeah, really.
Like, Indian in half an hour, and he's got us on the crack already.
Everybody's
is that specially made for us, or is that one of theirs just rebadged?
No, that's specially made for us.
Is it?
Yeah, specially made.
Mm. The builder's crack wasn't stuff. It's 100%. The plumber's plonk is the one.
A bit of
the builder's crack.
The plumber's plonk is the Pilsner, so most people like lager.
Yeah.
And I deliberately did that because then you can tell everybody the plumber's one's the Smithy.
But also the builder's one's out of date.
So. Oh, look at that for branding.
It's
been out of date 6 months.
They're brand new.
Can't get rid of it.
Got a uni like that on.
I know, yeah.
The plumber. That's awesome.
You said brand everything.
Hashtag brand everything.
Fucking done it, son.
Look at that. Representing the other side.
Representing.
So are we ready?
Let's do this.
We're good.
Yeah, we're going.
Welcome back to Trade Legends Podcast, episode 72.
Episode no fucking idea.
You're tuning to.
We didn't know you laughed, but we do this every time. Do you wanna start him?
No, I started last week.
Whose turn is it?
Your turn. You should start because you're late.
Breathing close to the mic. This is going to take some getting used to this.
I'll start because then I'll get you wetter than an otter's pocket.
Come on, Alex, do your thing, bro.
Tight like a nun. You
someone
ready?
Give him some Haribo today or something.
I don't know what
he's been
like all day.
I fucking love it.
I tried to phone him earlier, have a serious conversation, just singing down the phone to me.
We were here.
Yeah.
I was happy to hear.
On time.
Oh, that one's going in on the shot. So, we are here, Trade Legends, episode
14.
Is it 14 though?
14.
Right, episode 14. I don't know what episode it is in season 2.
Feels like episode 114.
Someone's funny today, aren't they? Funny bollocks. And we are joined by two completely new guests in Phil from Driveways and Gardens. And we're also joined by JD and Brickwork, James, both from Leeds.
Leeds.
Representing in the Hussars.
Representing
Leeds. Let's talk about the football.
Let's not talk about the football.
He's a Leicester fan, though, aren't he?
Please.
Leicester, it's not much better. I'm an Aston Villa fan, so we will not talk about
football.
Yeah,
let's just cut that subject out straight.
So who do you want to start with, Pete, tonight? Who should we get into? Who should we get deep into first?
Don't mean to touch my toes.
Let's lay the foundations with some brickwork.
Oh, see what he did there.
Here's the foundations, man.
I see what he did.
Let's go for it, man.
So,
speaking of foundation, have you done your makeup different tonight?
You look a bit. Do you mean? It's because I've had
makeup.
No, I've
been on sunbeds.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Haircut and sunbed.
I like it.
You know that.
Typical Brummy.
Typical Brummy. He's only jealous. Somebody's got to look this beautiful, aren't they? So, Mr. JDM Brickwork, as always, we get people on. The whole point of the show really is to talk through about you, how you got started, sort of, you know, where you're at now, where it's going. Basically, just tell us about yourself. So, after school, whether it was at school, whether you worked part-time somewhere, give us the full background as to how you came to be JD. I was about to say
Driveways and Gardens.
JD and Brickwork for everybody. Yeah. So how did it all come about, basically? Take us back to the very start.
First of all, thank you for having me on tonight, Alex.
Manners,
you
know, like that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a big fan of the show. It's a real honour to be here, so I really appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys. manners. Sorry.
No, genuinely do appreciate you guys asking me to come on the show tonight. So, I'm James, from Leeds, 23 years old, got my own bricklaying company at JDN Brickwork, jumped straight into it when I was 16. Didn't have any idea what I wanted to do when I left school. Went to go see the careers woman in like the June time because I had nothing set up. I had mates who had dads, uncles, brothers who had building companies who all had something going on in the game. And I kind of wanted to just go down that route. I wanted to go do building.
Were you just done with school as well?
School. Like, I wasn't naughty at school. I wasn't. I was just like, I would probably say more mischievous kind of thing, like bored.
I was a cheeky bastard.
Yeah,
you were naughty.
I'm not gonna lie, but
let's just keep it simple.
No, because there's like, there's naughty where you turn up to school with a knife in it, and you're like wanting to, like whatever. No, I shouldn't say that really, because that genuinely. Like,
I think if you're at school and you're not academic, that's not your thing. Then it's hard to keep your concentration.
The thing is, I was in the good sets with all the brainy people, but I
need to show off, mate.
Bored so easily. Yeah. I've got a brain, believe it or not.
Have you got ADHD?
Yes. It's not diagnosed, but I'm pretty certain I've got minor ADHD. But yeah, my attention span's ridiculous. I couldn't sit still in school. I was that dickhead that were lobbing rubbers at people, distracting other people, asking to borrow someone's calculator when I had like three in front of me already. Just didn't get on with it. And the teachers like obviously knew that I wasn't going to go down an academic route. I knew that I wasn't made to sit like in the same spot all day, every day until I'm 65, take a measly pension and then go and die. You know, that's not me. That's not what... it's just not what I would
say. Sorry for anyone listening that's taken a measly pension and about to die.
I do apologise.
If you are 65, I do apologise. You're not going to die.
So I thought, I want to do something interesting. I want to be active. I want to be doing something. I want to be like active kinesthetic learner. Is that it? I had to do a little test because I went... My mates laugh at me because I had to go do boxing on a Friday morning instead of maths. So like, I was one of them kids.
Yeah, you can't count. Go punch something.
To be fair though, exactly stuff like that with kids that can't sit still, like doing a sport like boxing or something where there's a bit of discipline. Actually, I think does sort of help. I think
it did. It did me the world of good. And then so anyway, going back on track, I went to go see the careers woman in like the June. We were due to leave in the July, and I had nothing lined up or anything. Applied for everything: electrician, plumbing, spark. Electrician, plumbing, even painting, joinery, anything in the trade, I applied for it. And then all of a sudden a vacancy for a brickwork apprenticeship came up with like a government funded company called Futureworks. Obviously got a lot to thank them for because they like took me under wing and then put me on a 2-year apprenticeship. And that's where I learned everything. Worked for a big house builder called Chemo Homes. Obviously everyone's aware of them. Got shoved about from gang to gang with a bricklaying subby on the big site that I was working on. And just kind of run with it. I got to enjoy the trade, dipped in and out of motivation. Obviously you do as a 16, 17 year old kid when you don't really know what direction you want to take. But eventually I just took to it and I just loved it. Found a passion for it. When I was younger, I really wanted to make it as like a rugby player, but that kind of, when you get to a certain age, you understand that that's not going to happen.
Well, when everyone's suddenly about four sizes too bigger than you.
And you realize that when you get to a certain level, it does actually really hurt when you get hit by someone who's a certain size, and then you go have trials and what have you, and just realize there's another level to that. So I kind of like dipped out of motivation for that, and then finally eventually found a love for bricklaying, as weird as that sounds. I do really enjoy bricklaying, and I come to the point where I would look forward to going to work, and I knew that's when I knew when I started to like not dread getting up in the morning that bricklaying and construction and building and doing something in the game was gonna benefit me and take me on an interesting journey in my life.
The point where you're at school and you're you do your careers and then you're looking for an apprenticeship, like you say, plastering, plumbing, electrician. What was the time period? Was it a long time? Did you ever think I'm not gonna get any? Because there's not much out there, is there?
I didn't for a long while. I was the last one out of my mates to find anything.
Yeah.
And I would like it come to like the last couple of weeks of school and I'm shitting myself thinking, what am I going to do? Like I really wanted to jump straight into work. So I wanted a couple of quid in my pocket.
Yeah.
So how did that government thing work? Because we don't hear much about that when we talk to people on the show. There's like a lack of apprenticeships or people struggling to get in there. How did that government thing, and did the careers tell you about that? Because
It was just a job to me. Only looking back now, I realised that there were a lot of support from the government, which is a great thing for the trade. I don't know what it's like now moving forward. This was like 7-8 years ago. So it was through, like, people were asking me who I worked for and I couldn't really answer the question because it was like, there was a Brick Lane subby on there. There was a main contractor, Keepmart. There was Futureworks, who was the like the link between me and my employment and Keepmart. And there were like CITB who came to visit me. Then there were the college. It's like, I didn't know whether I was coming or going, really. All I knew is that I had to get up at 6 o'clock next morning and get to work.
Yeah. So if there's anyone watching this now who's trying or at that stage that you were at, is it just a case of just keep looking every day? You've got to be looking. It's not going to like fall in your lap. You've got to be actively looking. And give them an idea of like the time. Is it a month? Is it 2 months that you're trying to find?
It's weird. Everyone says like,
I don't think that ever stops.
Things take time and things do take time. That's right. But you've got to just increase your chances by putting in the yards.
Yeah.
Like if you, like we've just been playing darts there. If I throw enough shots, before long, I'm going to hit a treble 20. It might take a couple of days or 3 days or something, but I'm going to hit a treble 20 before long. But you could fall lucky and you could apply for the one job that does set you up. Yeah. But you just got to keep plugging and plugging and plugging.
I'm just thinking, if there's someone watching here who's trying to get into an apprenticeship and they're not having any luck, give them an idea of what to expect. But if you apply for every single vacancy going, then eventually you'll hit the bullseye and you'll get one. But the difference between the people who don't get the apprenticeship and the ones that do is the guys that put the effort in, looking, actively looking.
If there's not someone in your family or somebody that you know who you're really close to who's going to be able to give you that opportunity, then it's obviously goes without saying, it's going to be a lot harder for you to find something. But like I'm like hard, cold evidence. I've got no background in construction. I've got no family that I knew of back then that were in construction. I've recently got back in touch with some family who I do know who are in the game. But back then I had no building background, nothing, no contacts or anything. I've like created everything that I've done and everything that I'm doing now, I've like created from putting in the hard yards myself. Yeah, 100%.
So, ladies and gents, if you want to save big on some big-name brands, then Trade Legends is the place to do that. Head on over to www.tradelegends.uk/discount.
So here's one question for you, which obviously for the apprentices or people wanting to get into apprenticeships now, obviously you've got your own business. If you were to hire an apprentice, what would you look for in an apprentice now?
My apprentice is going to be watching this now.
Say it's me.
Say I'm the perfect apprentice.
Just describe the complete opposite.
So Alf,
dark hair,
6'7". Today, the guy, he. So we're on an extension at the minute, and we've come to the knock through stage today. And the sink was still there. So the clients have gone on holiday for a long weekend, which has fallen at the perfect time for the knock-through. And we've had to disconnect the sink and move like all the units around the sink out of the kitchen. And all we've got is like 5 bags of bricklaying tools, a couple of spanners. and believe it, like the apprentice was the one who turned the water off, undid all the shit under the sink. I don't know, you're the man for that. I have no experience at all whatsoever. And we were just having a bit of a laugh. We were saying, how come he can plumb a sink, but he can't plumb his wall? He can't plumb his brickwork, but he can unplumb a sink. What the fuck is going on here? But no, he's a top lad. So back to your question about hiring an apprentice. I think when you come to hiring anybody, not just an apprentice, you've got to make sure, like I hired an apprentice, I've had 2 apprentices. The first one did his level 3 with us. I ain't even got my level 3, but I put him through his level 3. He passed. He's now doing his own thing. Then I got a second apprentice and I've took him from the start. He was a school leaver. But I did do things differently. Although the first apprentice was great, a great lad, a top lad. I took him on barely knowing him. I was only young myself. And then the second apprentice, I got to know him a little bit better. I thought, I'm going to get to know this guy. Because if I can't waste my time now, I was at a stage where my business was growing. I was scaling. There were lots of things happening. And an apprentice, I felt like I didn't really want one, to be honest. But he approached me. I thought, you know what, I'm going to give him benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give him see what he's about, see if he's got a bit about him, if he's a clever kid, if he's got his nous about him, if he's not a fucking complete idiot, which unfortunately, stereotypically, people who come into the trade are, you know. I'll give him a chance. So we had a couple of chats over the phone. I brought him to my house, had a chat with him. And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to give this guy a chance. And he's still with us now. He's served a year and 3-4 months with us now. So you just got to be a good judge of character. You got to understand personalities. You got to see things before they happen. You got to have a good eye for that.
I mean, is it hard then? Because obviously you talked about scaling. When you are in that eye of the tornado and you know that you need extra help, but then you're thinking, well, if I take on an apprentice, for example, if you take on somebody who's got experience, it's easier because they can sort of come in and slot in and get used to you a lot quicker. But if you're thinking in your head, well, I do need to take on an apprentice, like, you know, you have to show them absolutely everything. So, like, again, for anybody probably that's in that sort of side now, rather than being the apprentice, somebody that's got their own business and they're sitting there thinking, shit, I've got so much work on, like, could I do it? Is there any tips that you can give somebody to sort of say, well, this is what I did, or this helped me at this stage? Because obviously, you know, the busier you are, the more paperwork you've got, the more generally, the more people you've got working for you, the more materials you've got to order, the more places you've got to be in, the more people you've got to organise. Like, how would you say to somebody then now that's thinking maybe, well, I do need some more help, but like the rocket ship sort of starts to take off and I'm like...
It is time consuming. It really is hard work training up an apprentice. When you've got to make the money for yourself, keep the business going, you're there hands on all the time. I'm fortunate to have a great team of people in my company where if I'm too busy to show the apprentice a certain thing that he's stuck on, I can say, look, go and see so-and-so. He'll be able to answer that question for you. If you're struggling with this, oh, I'll say to one of the other lads who's like top quality bricklayer as well, and I'll say, look, just that's a bit wrong. I've told him it's wrong. We'll go show him how to put it right. So it's about delegation, I suppose. If you're at a stage where you've got other people in the business that can kind of take a little bit of weight off your shoulders, learn to delegate a lot more than you already are, because believe it or not, although you are essential to the business, you're not needed every minute of every single day. There's other people in the company, if you've built it properly with solid foundations, that can take a lot of weight off your shoulders.
I mean, how many people then have you got working for you now? How many is in?
Now we've scaled right down to 5 now.
Yeah.
Well, 6 if you include a part-time QS.
Yeah.
And a cameraman that comes every now and again to do some bits for us for YouTube. But there's 5 people hands-on labour at any one time, one of them being the apprentice. So there's 4, like, well, there's 3 bricklayers, labourer and apprentice.
I mean, how many did you have at the height of it? Because sometimes you can go too far and then think, hold on.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
So last year we took on 2 huge contracts. Well, they're probably not huge, to be honest, but they were at the time. And it were a massive leap before I should have took it, where I turned up having 4 gangs to look after. So each 4 of them gangs were at least 3 bricklayers. So what's that? 5, 12.
I told you you weren't good at math.
4, 3, 6, 9.
Do you know what? As soon as you went like that, I thought, oh, here he comes. He's just going to pile in.
The fingers help.
Come on, use your fingers. Yeah.
So there were like 12 at least. So I think in total there were 15 lads, including the lads that I were with as well. And that was tough. That was really tough. At that point, you're beyond the point of delegating in terms of looking after the apprentice, because the apprentice worked in my gang. But when there's a team of like 15, 16 people, it's like, who does this apprentice go to for advice? He's got to know these people. And in the nature of bricklaying, people come and go, gangs come and go. You know, it's just like passing ships. So at that point, it was really, really stressful. But to like, if it's like a one-man band and you've got, say you're a little bit older, you're more experienced, you've already like made your money when you were younger, you've got time now to be giving back to the trade. I mean, an apprentice won't be if you know you've got the financial backing or the financial stability to be able to afford to pay an apprentice constantly, then I feel like it'd be a great way for apprentices to get in the trade with like maybe a one-on-one, if it's a bricky and a labourer, or if it's just a single bricker that's looking for a new lad to jump on board with him.
I mean, you guys are from Leeds. Do you hear that many people are struggling to get apprenticeships? Do people talk about that sort of stuff across the trades that you're in? Is there people applying and they're not getting?
I do get approached on social media every now. I won't say I get millions and millions of messages every day, because I don't. I probably get one message every 2 weeks that's a young lad, either a school leaver due to leave school or is in a job that he doesn't like, who's young, who's wanting to get in the trade. They see what we're up to on social media and they think that it's all sunshine and rainbows. They think that it's a fluffy job. They think that, because we have a laugh, and they see like the highlight reel on my Instagram stories.
They see the good bits.
Yeah, they see the good bits, the funny bits. See us taking piss out of each other and having a laugh. And they like what they see, which is great. You know, we're putting the trade in a positive light, and we're showing the positivity that's in the trade and in bricklaying and stuff like that. And they're asking have you got any jobs coming? Oh, I'd love to work for you. Oh, I'd love to come and work at JDN Brickwork. Or let me know when you've got anything coming. And I'm at a point now where I don't want to be hiring just any Tom, Dick or Harry. I'm at a stage where the workload is, you know, it's there. We've got enough work to keep us 5 going. And believe it or not, even though it's only a small company of only 5 people, you still need a lot of work in front of you to keep 5 men going. You're feeding 5 families, you're keeping 5 people going, you're keeping 5 households, bills paid.
Stressful. You know,
it's stressful. It is. It comes with its stresses, whether it's 5 or 50.
Or even if it's just yourself, it's stressful.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Any business trying to keep it going in any sort of circumstances, obviously like the last 2 years with all the other stuff going on, you think like, you know, especially you guys, probably got more work that you can handle, but you're thinking, I don't want to turn down work and stuff like that. Any size business, whether it's yourself or whatever, is a stressful thing to do.
Trade Legends has now partnered with Tradeify. Get a free 14-day trial plus 50% off your first 3 months with discount code TRADELEGENDS.
I'm going to jump over to you quickly and then get you to tell us about your sort of entry into how you became Driveways and Gardens in essence. On.
So I started quite young. My dad had his own business doing landscaping, bits of block paving, fencing and stuff like that. So from about, I'd say 9, 10, I'll, you know, wrap around my dad's legs. You know, I'm coming to work with you on a weekend, 6 week holidays, I'm there. So I were always really interested in putting stuff together, how things work, how to fix things, build stuff and all that type of thing. So when I got to school, I just had, you know, no interest in it at all. I would just, teacher'd ask me, you need to concentrate, I'd be saying, I'm off to work for my dad. I'm going to be a builder. Don't worry about it.
You'll never amount to anything. I've already done it.
That's such a terrible cliche.
But to be fair, though, it gets banded around a lot. I find, especially trades, is like people that weren't so academic or that didn't really find stuff interesting there because you know you want to do something with your hands.
It's like putting a square peg in a round hole, isn't it?
I think the education system, another cliche, knackered, the way that it's structured in getting kids through it and to understand what they want, what they want to do and where they want to be in life, it needs to change because.
Well, even design technology, I'll take that as a thing. It's always woodwork.
Yeah.
What about doing some sort of I did a little bit of welding and stuff like that, but it's like welding, learning how to build a wall.
As wood, you know, I think woodwork's been phased out now, hasn't it?
Has it?
I think so.
Probably can't allow you on the.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do it.
Especially me. I'm back at school. Hey, put your hand there, mate. Woo! You know, as you did. But just I just feel that, you know, like you say, when you're at school, people aren't being shown. Some people aren't into languages. Why not get somebody into doing something with their hands where they could build something instead?
Yeah.
But there's none of that.
It's why there's a shortage of tradesmen. Mm.
I think that's why it's important for the gads, the lads and lasses that are doing stuff on social media, because it generates that interest into the industry. I get loads of messages about people saying they want to get into industry just from watching what I do. Mm. So I think it's important that, you know, we're doing the stuff on social media.
Yeah.
But going back to what I was saying about my journey, I were always interested in it. So, I mean, I learned how to drive a digger when I was about 11 years old. So, left school.
I don't know whether that's impressive or worrying.
It depends if he's on the job at your house, doesn't it? That it's guy on worrying. The digger looks a bit young. Do you know what I mean? Looking at some granny looking at, yeah, he doesn't look a day over 12. He's not.
So my dad, he were like, he used to say, you're coming to the University of Phil. That's how he'd explain it. So my dad's called Phil, I'm called Phil. You know, it's a bit, you know what I mean? Should have called me something else, but anyway. So I went to do bricklaying, finished my 2 years in about 13 months or something like that. Just smashed through modules, went back to do my end year test at end of year. And then just went to work with my dad. But I soon found that the dynamics of a father and son relationship don't go together in a business, and I were pulling one way, he were pulling another way, and I just wanted to expand, obviously, young, and just wanted to go for it. Long story short, we broke up, and that were that, and I started my own business, which were Driveways and Gardens. And when I started, I just thought, right, let's see where we can take it, and we grew from 3 lads in February to 15, 16 guys by March.
Is this last year?
This was a few years ago. Oh, okay.
So how old were you when you decided to go and do your own thing?
21, I was.
21?
Yeah, we're 21. So we expanded quite rapidly. And I just quickly found that it were really difficult to manage everything. I were on tools, I were out in office for 5 o'clock in the morning, getting all lads' sheets ready to go to work. You know, youngest lad that worked for me were 22 or something like that, so he was close to me, but the oldest guy were 51 or something like that.
you're trying to manage people that are older that are obviously like, shut up, mate.
I think, you know, it's, it, I think you've got to kind of forget, well, like, for anyone listening that is at that point, you've got to take your age out of the equation. It doesn't matter whether you're 20 or whether you're 30 or whatever. It's your business, and it's down to you to make it whatever you want it to be.
So the point where you and your dad parted ways, obviously on a business level, you fell out. Was it okay behind the scenes? Were you good or did you fall out?
It were tough because basically what happened is my mum lost a job due to some sort of disagreement at work or something like that. So my mum went at work and my dad were basically going out and smashing driveways out and basically bringing dosh in. And it were hard for me because I just found it difficult to basically process all that. And I think to sort of like have that weight on my shoulders. Yeah. And by the time we got all that sorted and we come out at the back end of it, I was just knackered from it. I mean, we were doing like silly hours. I was tramming all over the country. I mean, we go back to when I was about, I think I was 17, 18, something like that. I was driving down to Leicester in a van that to work. I'd pick a lad up from Barnsley on my way down. We'd work there till 6, 7. Some nights we'd finish at like 9 o'clock. I'd drive all the way back. Just ridiculous hours. We were working till like 3 morning. Because we were on price work as well. So we had contracts where we were on price work. We were just trying to bat out this work to get it all done, and it just totally took the fun out of it. And then when I started my own firm, I just wanted to expand because I knew the work were there. I just had to go out and get it. So I expanded, but because we expanded so quickly, there were no background staff to manage all the paperwork. So I were up and out early, sorting lads' sheets out, and I'd be getting something like 60 calls a day from my lads.
So I had similar with my dad, not as bad, but it's like, you know, when you... He's your dad, obviously he can tell you what to do because he's your dad, but when you're at work,
yeah,
it's
because
different,
as
isn't
well,
it?
We started, when we started to grow, we went 50-50 on it. So you're 50-50 business partners, but it's your dad, so
yeah,
you've kind of got to leave that relationship at home.
Yeah.
And then when you come to work, it's a business partnership. Now, I can't lie to you, like I were difficult to work with. I were always like frustrated all the time because things weren't going right, and obviously my dad had the wisdom and all that type of stuff, and he knew how things worked and all that, and I just couldn't process it. And
but I think you might be being a bit hard on yourself there, because I think when you're young, as an expression, and you want to make your own way in the world, when your dad's telling you to do something and you've got a different idea of doing it a different way, you just want to say it because that's,
yeah,
it's just the nature of being young. But I had the same with my dad. He'd ask me to do something and I'd want to do it my way, and he'd say, no, do it this way. And you kind of like resent it a bit. You forget that he's older, he's wiser, he's done it because you want to prove yourself.
Yeah. He still does it now.
Yeah. But when you mention an idea and it gets batted down all the time.
Yeah, it's shit.
You start to think, well, what's the point?
Yeah. Well, so, fuck it, Dad, I'll go do my own thing.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you're talking about going into there and then you've created, it's grown and you've created this.
It were a monster. We went from 3 lads to 16. We were averaging between 85 and 100 a month. It were ridiculous. I can remember one weekend, 56 grand landed in account on the Friday. And by the Monday, there were £2,000 left. And it wasn't until that point, like, I just thought, you know, big money numbers come in and big numbers go out. That's how it works. But it wasn't until, like, that point came across, I was like, oh, can this ain't right, this? Like, there shouldn't be more money left than that. It was just difficult. Like, it were really, really, really difficult.
Did you ever look back then at that point when you saw those numbers flying across your account and think, actually, I probably would have been better off staying with the old man. Did that ever cross your mind?
Yeah,
stupidly?
I were doing all right with my dad, to be fair. I had a brand new motor. I were doing all right. Things weren't too bad. But I think when obviously being that age and dealing with them kind of figures, it's you know, it's not normal. My wage bill was like 8,000 a week. You know, it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, a lot of pressure. Going back to what Jim said, you know, you've got responsibility of, you know, all the households. Like, you know, if you drop the ball, then you're not only damaging your own house, you're damaging the other guys' houses as well. And when it came to sort of like the tight end of it, and I had to sort of like shrink down and close things up, it were a difficult conversation with a lot of lads that were, you know,
probably people that you get on with as well. Like, it's never nice.
I had a relationship with guys where I basically explained to them, you know, it's down to you to make this business whatever you want it to be. Do you know what I mean? And I always had quite close relationships with all the lads. I'd have conversations with them. You know, I'd text them on an evening and stuff like that. So it were upsetting for me when it all sort of like, you know, imploded.
Yeah. And how old were you when it did?
22.
22.
Yeah. So it were like about 10-month period. Over a 10-month period, it just went.
Yeah.
And then obviously it all just.
I mean, the one thing with stuff like that, when I hear sort of scenarios like that, people then say, well, actually, 10 years later is probably the best thing that actually happened to you. At the time,
looking back, it's like that sort of like 10-month period, when I think back to it, I learned so much from it. Mm-hmm. Although I didn't achieve anything, just a load of debt. you know, I learned a lot from it. So, you know, you could say that was sort of like my university period, where I went to uni, got into debt, and now I've learnt something from it. Mm. Yeah. So I feel like if I wanted to now, I could scale a business quite comfortably, just with knowledge of how not to go about things.
Yeah. Go on.
I was going to say, so your advice to people if they are at the point where they're thinking, right, we've got enough work on, I'm going to get a load of blokes, would you say take your time? Do it gradually.
Grow slow. Find good lads or lasses that are hardworking, that respect you, that have got your best will, your best intention at heart, and stuff like that. You know, it's pointless rushing it. You know, it's
don't run before you can walk.
Yeah, that old saying. You know,
better to build it up gradually and remain. You know, when you get 16 blokes working for you, get there and stay there rather than grow too fast and have to come all the way back and sort of start again.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean that experience in itself, obviously, like at any age, but at like 21, 22, I mean, did that, you know, some people would be put off by that. Has that dampened any of your ambition, or is it like what you think?
It's just made me aware of a lot more things. I mean, most people ask me about my beard because I'm actually only 26. So why have you got a grey beard? But where it's all grey, it all fell out. Like, I had like a really hard time with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think not the pressure of like running the business were hard, but the pressure of knowing it were coming to an end were even harder because, you know, I think to let all the lads go and stuff like that.
Nobody wants to. Again, trades. Men especially never want to admit it's a bit of ego, isn't it? You never want to admit, like, A, you potentially could have fucked up a little bit, B, shit's gone sideways, or C, actually I need some help with this. So you carry all that weight on yourself, when actually, like, you know, we should just say, oh, actually I need a bit of help with this, or can I have your advice on this, or do you know how to sort this out, or whatever it is.
I think people have a misunderstanding that, like, successful people fail every single day, like, but they learn from it. They don't make the same mistake over and over again. So my advice, he's fucking banging on to you.
Whenever I talk to anyone about stuff like this, I mean, it's great, this podcast is great for you sharing your experiences and people can learn from your mistakes, like you've learned. But like you were just saying, I always remember there's a story about Amazon, didn't they, like, for the first 3 years made a loss. And now look at it.
You hear it about all the big players.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, you know, so you got Musk, you can like make sleeping on a factory
mistakes,
floor
mistakes,
like
mistakes. But as long as you learn from them, it's
you don't repeat them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Amazon, what he potentially did with his was he kept making a loss to reinvest the money back into the business. And then shareholders were like, is this company ever going to make money? And he was like, look, the grand plan
is. Just wait.
Yeah. Which he did eventually. But like, yeah, it must be a scary thing. I mean, this is the thing as well, where at least, like, even if something fails, at least you can say you've done it. I get so many people that go, oh yeah, do you see, like, his business is shut down or whatever, but these are the types of people that never do it.
Like, you had a go, you tried,
never do it, so they can't even comment on you because they've never been in your situation.
I'd never take advice from anyone that hadn't failed. Never, because I was saying to James on the way down, like, you don't really know what success is until you've failed properly. Mm. because you know what rock.
I don't think you'd appreciate it either. If you if you were just successful and it all just fallen into place for you, then I think like you'd never like if times did get hard, you'd never realise how to.
Yeah, you kind of have to know the layers of where you are, and you know you need to know where that sort of like rock bottom is, and
stuff like that. Because obviously, you know, when I've been in sort of situations that are quite similar, obviously, like, does that affect any of your other personal life stuff? Like, obviously, relationships with some of my ex-girlfriends have gone south because of work and stuff like that. So it's like that's one thing that we don't really talk about. It's like the impact of like the stress of running a business. Like, does it ever affect other outside relationships, like with your friends,
daily,
your family,
daily. I mean, I never had time for friends, and I mean, I were always at work. I still work like mad anyway. I work most weekends, and it does have an effect. I mean, she's a trooper. She understands that it's for the future and all that kind of thing. But yeah, I didn't have time for no one when I had that business. It was ridiculous.
I mean, what about you as well? Because obviously, you know, you're young. You've got a young son. It's a son, isn't it?
Yeah, 4 month old.
Young son as well. And it's sort of like you're trying to build that business, and obviously you see them, you want to provide for them, but then you got to be conscious as well.
I don't want to provide. He can provide for himself.
He's old enough. He's going to be with me.
He gets more than you anyway, doesn't he?
He'll be driving the digger around by the end of the year.
Yeah. Following Phil.
He will be if he's hanging around with him. Yeah. He'll be driving when he's 3 years old.
Took us another water, mate.
Yeah, what about another plumber's plonk?
Can we just stop in the shower? I'll put three
questions.
It's a bit dry.
There's no in me. There.
So, Guy is on the motorway and he really needs to go to the toilet. Like, absolutely busting for the toilet. He manages to find a service station, so he jumps out of his van, runs into the toilet, basically kicks the door down, sits down, and then, yeah, goes to the toilet. And then he looks down and he sees some legs. And he turns around and he says, "I'm really sorry, mate, he sat on someone's knee." And the bloke says, "Not as sorry as you will be, I pulled your trousers up." Where were we?
Are we doing all right?
Empties.
Yeah. We're doing all right. Is everything all good, yeah?
Good. No, it's good because obviously good you're the first person to actually say, "Do you know what?" Like, it flopped a bit, but do you know what I mean?
I think as well with social media, like...
You only see the good bits, don't you?
Yeah, I watch so many people and I just think, like, you're in a shithole right now, like, because I know where...
Yeah.
I know how it works, and I just think you're struggling right now. But they don't want to show it. I think it's important that you talk about it, because most apprentices that come through the system have no understanding of how to run a business. Like, I think there's a misunderstanding as well that if you're good on tools or if you're good at, you know, whatever it is you do, that you'll be successful. Well, it's not like, I were really good at what I were doing, but when you bring other lads on, you know, you basically, I was selling jobs on what I could do, and then I'd employ these guys and they couldn't do what I was trying to sell to these customers. So we had a lot of work, and the guys that I had on board couldn't achieve that work.
I think that's the danger. It puts a lot of guys off either getting an apprentice or getting someone in to help them, because you need them to do the same standard of work that you've built your company around.
I've never had an apprentice, and I never went through an apprenticeship, which is why I can't comment on like the how it all works, because I've never understood it.
Would you take one on now after your experience, what you've had? Would you
right now? I couldn't have an apprentice because it's basically me and two guys, and they basically keep me going. If I took another guy on that had some knowledge about how to do whatever it is that we're doing, I'd then take an apprentice on, because I could leave the lads to labour on him and make sure he's busy, and then, you know, put everything into an apprentice. But I think there's that worry as well that you spend all this time and effort training this kid up, and then he's just going to go and start his own firm. So, like, you might put 3-4 years into someone and they're just gone.
That's always the risk, isn't it? Do you guys find that a lot of time you'll get a labourer who's there to be a labourer, and then they evolve into doing your trade?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
I'm hoping so. I've got a labourer now who's a top lad.
Yeah.
He's 17. Oh, no, he's recently turned 18, actually. He's been with us for well over a year now. About 18 months he's been with us. And he's a top lad. He's got the attitude for it, but he's just a real good grafter.
What's
honestly,
give his name.
Go on, give us a shout.
Wilson. Shout out Wilson. Yeah, big shout out to Wilson.
Wilson!
Wilson! Yeah, that's funny.
I'm just imagining
not,
the...
I'm going to tell you a funny story. His name's not actually... His name's Josh. No. But we kept
Wilson
forgetting
sounds
his...
better.
Wilson is 100% better. We kept forgetting his name when he first turned up. So for a week, we all forgot his name and we didn't like want to ask him his name. We didn't want to keep pestering for his name. We were too busy shouting for Gobble and Bricks and fucking go see Gaffer, go find Forky for this. We don't give a fuck what his name is. We call him Joe Bloggs, fucking Patrick, Wilson. And Wilson just kind of stuck. One of Bricky's called him Wilson one day and it was just, that's his name now, Wilson. I introduce him to clients as Wilson. His name's Wilson, so big up Wilson. But
what
he's
did I see the other day, nickname, they called this guy at work Pothole.
Potter.
Because they spent all day trying to avoid him.
that's worse than the. That's worse than
joke,
isn't
it? It's a dead joke.
So that might be a good.
Exactly.
A good route into a trade. Mm-hmm. Get a job as a labourer. Work your arse off.
Yeah. You've got to prove yourself. It's 100%. It's a definite that you need to prove yourself. You can't just turn up and just half-ass it. You can't turn up late. You can't be rolling fags all day long. You can't be sat on a ton of sand all day long.
Can't be sat on your...
Can't be sat on your ass. Can't sat talking on phone to missus or whatever. You go, you know, asking when... is it home time? Oh, we're done today. Or there's a drop of rain. Oh, we're getting rained off then. You can't be any of that. And I'm very fortunate to have a great group of lads around me that are willing to work and that are always up for graft. Like Wilson, I'm bigging him up now, but he's got it in him to make a very, very good, successful career out of Brick Lane. Nice. And it'd be great if he did take that route. I mean, it'd also be great if he didn't, because he's a smashing labourer. So yeah. I'd lose a shit hot labourer, you know. Yeah. If he were to go down that route, Wilson.
I'm thinking, right, Wilson, this is the plan. You get...
We're talking to Wilson, right?
Get one of your mates in and you train them up to be the labourer that you are. And then once you've got them to your level, then you can start laying bricks.
It's a good shout.
Yeah.
It's a slow process, that, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's going to take time. But, you know, we're all young enough, mate. Like, the oldest lad in my gang now is 26. We're a young team of people. We make a lot of mistakes. We do stuff right. I know Phil said that he had, like, the youngest guy working for him was older than him.
I think to have a success, like, I look at us guys, I know I'm 39, but everybody's similar ages, especially in the marketing team here.
And we all get on.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, get on, I mean, like.
I'll get what you're saying, but
you
I mean.
You get on,
like,
with the lads, don't you?
Yeah. I think you've got to have that sort of thing in common. When it's 21 and it's 50 as well, you crack a joke and the guy's looking at you thinking,
different generation.
I always seemed a lot older, though, like when I would. I think people misunderstand my age. I just.
Is that because of the grey beard?
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Because, I mean, obviously, you've talked about that scenario again. I'm going to come back to you because, obviously, that's just jigged my mind. Obviously, looking on social media, you've gone from doing your comfort zone to you're renoing two houses or something.
That's
there.
Just my mindset. I've always sort of, like, tried to... I've always worked on edge of failure, like, because that's where success is. Trying to... constantly out of my comfort zone... you know, if you can lay a brick, you can build an house. You know, it's just
if you can dodge it,
you can.
Can you? Is that entirely true, Phyllis? If you can lay a brick, you can build an house. I mean, Alex, you can lay a brick. Can he build a house? What here?
I actually saw him go.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Anyone who watches this is gonna notice that I have no filter when it comes to, like, facial expressions. If I hear something like that, I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro?
I mean,
lay a brick, you can build an house. Who's this guy? What the fuck is this guy?
I heard if you can tie a shoelace, you can sell torches.
True.
Is that how it started?
True story.
If you can piss, you can paint.
That is true.
If you can tie your shoelaces, this is how good it is. Like, just for everybody at home, It says shoelace on there, so don't forget.
What if you can tie? Are they Velcro laces?
No.
They don't even tie them, so you actually can't tie shoelaces.
That's a unique aroma.
Oh,
beautiful.
Love it. It's getting close to Mike.
Not being on site, that.
It's getting close again.
Come in.
I think that some of my best memories of working was when we were on site, when we had a big job, and there was, even if it weren't like you, obviously your gang sounds like more like a family because you're there on every job together, but we'd go just as two plumbers, me and Kev, and it'd be different electricians, different plasterers, different chippies, but you come together as a little unit. You'd look forward to, we used to go in the morning, you used to get there for 7:30, you weren't allowed to start work till 8:00. So we'd have 30 minutes, a cup of tea, then we'd start work, and then you just look forward to it because you just have a chat and banter all day and just
touch each other in toilets.
that was more the electrician's thing.
So you've got these two new Renaults. Is this plans for the future then that you're gonna?
It's the first step forward towards the end game type thing.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to get into prop here. I've been obsessed with it, like the idea of having something there that generates an income that in years and years you can sell it and make even more money off it. Like, just why not? Do you know what I mean? And it seems like everybody's doing it.
Yeah, is that something you've thought about? If you can lay a brick, you can build a house. So surely,
I mean, if you can buy an Haribo, you can buy an house and flip it, right?
So I mean, is that something? Because you know, theoretically, most people in trades could turn their hands to.
I think most trades that is a little dream of to get their first property.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I've just before Oakley were born in October, we just got the renovation done on our first. Like project,
it's not
so
finished
to speak.
Yet. We still haven't got a driveway.
Phil Kim's picked me up, and I had no driveway. Which I don't know if anyone knows any decent driveways and gardens people.
No,
you know, any landscapers that know what
to brickwork. Yeah,
no, building houses now. Sorry,
he's laying a brick and he's building houses and shit. So yeah, if anyone knows any decent landscapers up Leeds, up Castleford area, just shout your boy. But yeah, no, it's not quite finished. But yeah, we've finished. It's livable. We live in there now. The inside's all finished, fully furnished, and everything like that. So we live like the first refurbishment is like say 90% complete.
85.
And that, you know, look, that's obviously a good stepping stone to start the plan for, like, to mirror what Phil just says there, obviously. Yeah. Like, I think, as PB said there, it's every tradesperson has got it in the back of their mind that they'd like to, like, start a property portfolio, obviously build the dream self, build by a certain age, and that, like, everyone has all these goals and dreams and ambitions, but it's what you do daily to just make it happen. If you don't, you know, there's that terrible cliche. Yeah. A goal.
I mean, look, the one thing, obviously, with the current situation, because the price of materials and stuff like that, is it the right time for people to be doing that sort of, and the house prices
that's
rising?
A good discussion is that, to open up there.
Is that the right time? Because I just, in my head then, thought, hold on a minute, like, if you are going to start that, you've got those things to think about at the moment. Inflation, cost of materials, cost of labour.
There's no time like the present. Like, if not now, then why? When? Do you know what I mean? You've got to start at some point, haven't you? No? Yeah? No?
Absolutely.
I think, well...
Yeah. No?
It's
no.
I didn't know you were talking to me then, bro.
You looked at me, you gave me that look again. Shut up, Phil.
If you can labour it, can't yeah.
Where do you think the housing market is going to... It's probably going to keep just...
Everyone's waiting for this crash that's never going to happen.
I honestly think, though, when inflation gets to a certain price and the interest rate goes up, so they start raising interest rates, people then can't afford to pay their mortgage, and that's when the price of houses starts to come down. And that's the time for me when I would enter into doing that, because I'd think, obviously, like, and it's
monster.
Not, no, it's not been a shock, but no, it's not been a shock, but at the same time, when that happens, people then can't move, so the price of houses are coming down because they think, well, I can't take on a new mortgage to move to a bigger house because my mortgage is going to be 4.5%, or it might be 5% because the interest rates have risen. So that's God, I've got too deep there, haven't I?
No, you're 100% right in what you're saying.
I've lost everybody.
Although there isn't ever a perfect time, like, there's this quotation in the property world, so to speak, like, the best time to buy a property was 10 years ago, the second best time is now. Because you can, with a piece of property, you're buying it over the course of time that you will own it for, if you buy it cleverly enough, if you buy it with the strategy in mind of holding it long term, collecting the rent, refinancing, pulling your money back out, buy it at the right price. working numbers on it properly after doing the numbers, the hard yards to get this one property. Like, people don't understand what it takes to get one deal that actually works. But if you do buy it cleverly enough, and you're going to make a successful career out of property. But if you buy it, if you're going to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, you could be waiting forever for that perfect time to jump into property.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Should we do fastest laps?
Yeah, let's do it.
Start your engine.
Beasley Workwear, now proudly sponsors Trade Legends.
Happy. I should have been first.
To be fair though, Adam from Tool Monster, I don't know what he'd been taking, but he was next level.
Oh, I'm a terrible loser. I'll see you guys. Oh,
second first loser.
Second place is first place loser. Phil, you're correct.
Don't touch the Beasley board.
No, not the Beasley.
There's always one tosser in there. He's OCD, he's going to be going into overdrive now. Be like, it's fucking strange. Just
move the bit. Isn't it weird how we all get tags like, I'm ADHD, he's OCD, oh, what ADDDD? How many pieces are you tripled it. Like, you diagnosed me with ADHD before anybody else. I mean, that's after meeting me for an hour.
Do you know why? Because when I listened to you and you were like, I was the kid at the back of the room chucking a rubber and basically going, everybody else, or your mate looking, you'd be like, across the room. That was
running down corridor, playing knock and all run.
That was basically the
Phil, congratulations, mate.
First loser.
But who won?
I'm 1, 2, 3.
Who
four,
won in the dart?
Sixth place loser.
Don't tell.
Don't say.
All about the keepy uppies.
Oh yeah.
We know. Can we talk about keepy uppies?
I'm not going to give the keepy uppies away either. But
is that at the end?
Let's just say James was fucking good.
Sorry, shouldn't bang the table.
So,
final thoughts, lads.
Yeah.
So if you've got any advice for anyone watching, or you want to plug your
shamelessly plug your shit,
social media, whatever social media you're on, YouTube, Instagram, or just
get over to YouTube now and subscribe to JDN Brickwork now. We've got episodes coming up every second to third week. We're not consistent as these guys, but we've got every 2 to 3 weeks we put a new episode up there that's feature length.
So out of all of them, how did you land on the YouTube then? What made you think I'm gonna record it and then
money?
No lay.
Monetization.
No pay.
No lay, no pay.
If it was the money, I'd be fucking screwed because it's cost me so much more than it's made me.
Well, camera equipment, editing time. Do you edit it yourself?
No. It's all outsourced. The only thing I've done to deal with YouTube is like just kind of explain it to the boys, explain that there's going to be a camera guy coming on Tuesday.
And you better talk and do some work.
You better look like you do something on a day.
What kind of content is it?
It's just an episode of what I get up to in a day. So if anyone's seen that, obviously it's stupid to plug Asheville Weekly because they're like killing it on another level of their own. But he's like the god. And he was like, I already wanted to do this kind of thing, like with YouTube and document what I'm up to. But I was always conscious of like being slated because people will slate someone who does something perfectly, as you know, this day and age with social media and all that stuff.
Yeah, the thing is, you'll find the people that slate you are the ones that don't put their work out.
Yeah, of course. Fuck those guys. But I've noticed since I'm doing it, it's a great community, YouTube. There's a lot of positivity and a lot of encouragement and stuff like that. And then when I started seeing what Asheville were doing, and seeing like, I was thinking, fucking, that's exactly what I wanted to. Obviously, he's on another scale. His company's like next level. He's very well connected and stuff like that. I'm not yet. But yeah, that's the kind of format that we're going for, to kind of take inspiration from what he's doing. And that's kind of what my episodes are based on. But it's funny because Ben, the camera guy who comes to sort the YouTube out, he records it, he edits it all, he sorts all YouTube out, he sorts thumbnails out and everything like that. The episodes are like, they do make me feel like they're exactly what I wanted. And that's a great videographer there.
Because
he's got the drone out. He's got the proper, like, he's got all these bits. He's got camera equipment like what you guys have got. He's got the microphone if we need it, if it's a windy day or anything like that. And he's really professional in what he does. So yeah, really thankful to him. He sorts out all the YouTube and he's got us out there. It's led to great things, YouTube. A couple of cool partnerships and what have you. And yeah, it's only going to get better.
Yeah.
So go subscribe.
Nice.
Comment,
comment, like, comment, subscribe. See you next time.
What about you then, Phil?
I won't go for a plug.
Well, you can plug yourself, but also like any
touch your toes, like.
Go on then, go on, PB.
I'm sorry, too many of these plumbers plonkers.
Plug yourself.
Well, that's what I want. You know
plug
what
yourself,
mean?
Plumber. You know what I mean? Anyway, I'll go.
We've lost him.
Don't start me off. It'd be 20 minutes of me just chuckling to myself. So just plug yourself.
In your own time.
Do I have to do it myself? Can't someone else?
No, well, you, well, Drive Eggs and Gardens on social media. Is it just mainly Instagram for you?
YouTube's coming soon, but that's somewhat different. That's basically, I've always had this idea of building like this ridiculous dream home over a 20-acre plot, and the YouTube's, it's just a diary entry of how I'm going to get there. So it's just literally what I'm doing in that week or whatever I get up to and stuff like that. So that's coming soon off the back of this build. So yeah,
how big's 20 acres?
20 acres is 20 football pitches.
20 football pitches.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I had big goals and aspirations. That is fucking huge.
I want horses and shit.
Like a ranch.
Much about horses.
You've been watching too much Black Beauty.
I would
see biscuits.
What good are horses to you?
Fucking
20 acres and a horse. He don't want an house. He just wants ponies. He wants a what's like a gaggle of horses.
I want some of them decorative sheep that Simon Bowler talked about. I want some of them.
Oh yeah, decorative sheep.
Yeah.
A couple of llamas or something. Yeah.
Llamas are cool.
And a chicken hut.
So when's that? Are you, that's in your head, you're thinking that's going to be what I'm going to do with YouTube is going to be this?
Yeah, it's just literally like, this is me, this is what I'm about, this is what I'm doing, and this is how I'm getting there. Yeah. That's literally all it's about. You know, there's no sort of like secrets, there's no hiding behind failing or going wrong. It's literally just that is what it is, and like it or don't like it. Subscribe and whatever else you do on YouTube.
What's it going to be called?
I've not decided yet. No,
tell us to subscribe. The guy's not going to go on. What are we subscribing to?
No, you'll know. I hope he calls it, if you can lay a brick, you can build a house.
That's got to be the title for this podcast.
Perfect. No, I think Shonsa Holmes, but nobody understands how to pronounce my surname, so it's a bit of a grey area, is that one. So Razonka Holmes, it's there, you know what I mean? But I've not decided on that one yet. Yeah. Still on.
Where's the surname from?
Poland.
Yeah.
Okay. That's where the power comes from. Polish power, that's why I love digging.
Right, anything else?
Well, thanks for coming on, lads. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, thanks for having us. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for coming and drinking all our beers.
I'm going to have another one.
Yeah, I'm going to have another one.
I'll send you away with some of it. I'll be like, how's the hotel? Don't remember.
I fucking drive to the hotel.
Hotel, fuck knows. But that plumber's plonker is shit.
Imagine that. How was the hotel? I never made it. Where did you go? We ended up in Birmingham.
I'm in your boat, lad.
We ended up in Birmingham. Hey. Could well be.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much for having us on, man. Thank you.
Like from me and him, obviously, you know, I watch everybody on social, both your accounts. Even my sister follows you. She said, "Oh, Driveways and Gardens." I follow him. I like Driveways. It's like, God, I can't tell him that. You know what I mean? You're like, wow. So yeah, thanks for coming on anyway, coming all the way down here. So.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, you want to support our podcast, James's YouTube channel, Phil's coming soon YouTube channel. Then please subscribe, because it helps us all out and makes the world go around.
Just press the fucking button.
Just press that bell. Just press that bell.
Ding, 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 ding. Right, all good?
Touch the bell. You know you want to.
Use the plug and touch the bell.
Plug yourself, touch the bell.
Fucking cheers,
hell.
Boys.
Really? I bet he's gagging for a piece of game.
Real sound, it actually, you're right. Real sound's shit, innit?
Yeah, real.
Sounds better with the headphones on. Mm-hmm. Imagine that we all start walking around with headphones on.
Yeah. Right. How was that? All right.
Yeah, good. The thing is, I think everybody always worries too much about. God, the sound of my voice, or
the thing like, is, when I stop talking, somebody else takes off. I feel like shit. I could have said so much more then, or like I could have said that.
The only thing I have to learn, which like even Pete will tell you, is I end up because of ADHD. And sometimes I'm fine, but other days, like today, obviously you can tell. I'm like I'm on a fucking hype.
Excited.
You need that though, because that's constantly creating conversation. And
I feel like we brought some good energy though.
Yeah, it does, but you have to enable other people to talk.
I feel like it was.
Which sometimes I can't.
I'm like, shut the fuck up.
No, what it is if I don't say it at that precise moment,
you'll
10 seconds later, I'm like, oh, I had a question for you. And I go,
I'd love to live inside his head for like 20 minutes.
The only way
20 minutes is probably long enough.
The only way I can describe it is imagine being on a roller coaster and you know it's going like this. And then you know when it gets to the end and there's that really slow bit like that.
You got to go
and
like
it goes like that at the end. Right? It gets to there. But then it just carries on again, and I can't get off. That's the only way I can explain it.
Psychopath.
That's how I feel. Like people say, "What's ADHD?" Like that's the only way.
Have you been diagnosed with it?
At 22, got diagnosed. So basically, bear in mind, this is how fucked up it was. Was when I was younger, for breakfast I used to eat a massive bowl of Frosties, and my dad was like, "Do you want any sugar on there?" So he used to have brown sugar all over the top, and then get sent to school. You can imagine my teachers like, "What the fuck is this human grenade?
Grab it to
this human grenade that's just been tossed in there?" Do you know what I mean? But you see people on social media, and you see the work, but you don't hear about them, and that's the thing that like I like doing about this is like. Get to learn something
about what were going on before all of you know the social media kind of stuff.
And it's just sort of like everybody's stories.
I just told you I'm a little school.
No, but like
they give you any emotional fucking emotional language.
But you know what I mean? Like
I threw rubbers at people.
I love bricks.
But that's what makes it. Because everyone,
I went through such a bad patch. Man. Yeah, I love rubbers at kids in back of class. And fucking
he was the one at the back of the class going, you fucking shit,
pussy.
But that's the beauty about the show. To me, is everybody's like, it's completely different. Like if everybody was the same that came on was like, my family was in it and I got into it because of my family and then...
It were two contrasting stories about how we got into trade, wasn't it?
Yeah. Cause I were always like fucking...
That Billy went into the army and they trained him as a plumber in the army.
Yeah.
Oh, that don't happen.
Poor bastard.
Don't happen all the time. But it's a you know, like these stories are how people got into stuff. Even Jen, the decorator, she went to study.
She was like 31, didn't she?
Like architecture. She loves a Miller and Carr as well.
Yeah, it's good, mum.
She.
Yeah. It is good. What's your order?
It's not
any better since she started throwing them.
50 quid's worth of fucking steak, even. Yeah. What the fuck's that, Pete? Half a cow, I suppose.
The thing is, though, if you go, it's like they all have fillet or. Sirloin, it's like 29
he has
quid.
Like you know when there's a tomahawk for 60 quid
you can get the t-bone which is a sirloin and a fillet on the same thing for an extra 3 quid, so why not?
Yeah
makes perfect sense.
It's a big feed that though.
Yeah, he has that, then he has an extra side of greens, an extra side of fucking
garlic mushrooms,
whatever.
Greens, that's it.
And the sweet potato fries,
a pound extra.
And that fucking. wait. Shit.
Look on the fence. We got a pound.
It's an extra quid.
Hold on. And he has two extra lettuces because nobody eats them.
But isn't that meant to clean your palate before you eat?
So I'll drive for an hour and a half to get here. And you won't let me have a pound of sweet potato fries. Think about that.
Are you serious? All I do for you, Peter. Do you know what? Because you're never on time. That's why.
An hour and a half. Where do you come from, Pete?
Fucking less than an hour away.
M6 on a Friday night. Are you fucking kidding me? You should have left it.
No,
it's the M1, isn't it?
It's the M1.
This is better than the podcast.
Yeah. It's the M1.
It's fucking Balenciaga thinking
M1. This is a fucking
Chinese special. This is a Turkish special.
You know when it's like Balenciaga. Yeah.
Like Abibas four stripes.
It's about 4 years. How is this, mate?
I'm in a fucking Citroen Berlingo borrowed off my dad driving down the M6. Fucking... You're here in a lap of luxury.
Oh, there we go. My heart bleeds for him. Influencer extraordinaire. Deals everywhere. My heart bleeds.
If you like listening to Al talk over all the guests, if you've enjoyed this episode of Trade Legends, listening to Al talk over everybody else and people banging on the desk, if you've enjoyed listening to and watching today, you're fucking gonna just stay still one space just for a minute.
If you've enjoyed watching this, blah 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 blah. Okay, right, 3, 2, 1,
go. So I'll just not do it. Oh. Yeah, sure. I'm gonna shut up for just like a minute. If you've enjoyed listening and watching today's Trade Legends podcast, please subscribe to our channel. It'll really help us out. We're a new podcast. We want to do big things. And you subscribing, hitting the little bell so you get notifications, be just great. Thank you.
Hitting the little bell? I was like, yeah, ding, 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 ding.
There is a little bell in there.